This was Mary, and an angel came and spoke to her. You know that there was some scandal that Joseph wanted to divorce her. You know that Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem and that Jesus ended up being laid in a manger. Perhaps you've heard how the shepherds saw angels in the sky and they were moved to go and see this birth. Birth is incredible, right? Like all births. I don't know if you've ever held a baby in your arms and like the head's really heavy and you're like counting their little tiny fingers and toes and they have scrunched up skin and you just want to marvel. And if you're anything like me, there's a part of me that kind of wants to like freeze that moment, like bathe it in light and just kind of stop there. Because like in 1 year's time, that baby will be completely changed. It'll be like crawling, maybe walking everywhere, on the move, picking up speed. And that process just keeps going, changing and changing and changing. And then before you know it, you're like waving them off as they're going to play with their friends or they're like starting school, finishing school. And just like that, they've grown up and they're adults. At Christmas, we often focus on the birth, right? And I mean, I guess we could go further back. We could talk about conception. We could talk about two people meeting. We could talk about their births, their families. But this morning, I want to go even further back. I want to go back to before life even began on this planet, back before the universe even existed. And it was like just an infinitely small singularity of denseness and heat. Almost to a scene that is incomprehensible to us. Beginnings, endings, we get them, we get the joy of holding a baby in our arms, but trying to consider whether there is a God or not, that can make our heads ache. It can lead to maybe passionate debates around the table, which either we try to avoid or lean into depending on our personalities. But to think, is there a God? Is there more to life or nothing? Is there meaning or not? It's hard to know, and sometimes I wish like I could be certain. I can't necessarily promise you certainty this morning, but I want to invite you to marvel, because this is what the writer of John's Gospel is doing. He assumes you know all the details around Jesus' birth, and he presumes that there is a God that he trusts. And so John kind of plunges into the incomprehensibility of God and kind of makes God even stranger. He begins his gospel like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does this even mean? The Word was with God, is God. Now, I get words. I get, you know, you can make sounds with your mouth and mostly people can comprehend you. I get that we've created language, understandings and meaning. I get that we've created alphabets, you know, first scratching kind of symbols onto a surface and then forming letters and then sentences onto a page. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and is God. There's something evocative about this description, even though I'm not quite sure what it means. There's something evocative that speaks about our ability to communicate. It kind of says that there is meaning to life, that there is a reason why there's life at all. It speaks about a God who can speak, whose speech utters forth life in all of its complexity. Bathe this moment in light. Francis Spufford was walking down New Cross Street in London, and he used to pass this little plaque that was there on his way to teach. And this plaque commemorated that in 1944, a bomb had fallen there and lots of people had lost their lives. And he kept thinking about this. He kept thinking about this light kind of encasing all these bodies. People are pretty extraordinary, don't you think? Like, we have the ability to create nuclear bombs, or we can use nuclear imaging to like save lives, to help people. Like, which way will we go as a species? And Francis, as he walks down this street, he starts to imagine what happens if some people had survived? Like in that moment, I guess, between the bomb falling and detonating, that there's this brief, infinite singularity. He imagines five children who end up living, and he writes this story trying to imagine their lives. And as you're reading this story, you forget for a moment that it begins with this bomb, and you think, these are real people, that they really lived. It seems so believable. I mean, this is the power of language. And he says this in his book. He says, come other future, come mercy not manifest in time, come knowledge not attainable in time, come other chances, come unsounded deep, come undivided light, come dust. He marvels at life in all of its fragility and grace. And for Francis, all of creation is like humming, speaking, pointing to God. It's like all of creation is bathed in the divine. And he has this longing. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to know that there is life everlasting? That things like goodness and love and truth will endure? That there is a God? Wouldn't it be nice to believe that while sighs and shouts and words are heard, that every life matters? It would be nice, but it's not always easy to trust that. Because sometimes words fail us, or sometimes our words don't match up to the reality of what we see around us. And yet in the end, it feels like words is all we have. And so we keep telling these stories, these ancient stories that speak about encounters with the divine. And we hear stories and sing songs and pray these prayers that kind of hold communities and families together. Stories that speak about God being incandescent, glorious, holy. Stories that speak about God being the giver of life, good, someone who's unable to be extinguished. Stories that describe a God being like light breaking into the darkness. And John's gospel also uses words. He tells this poem, trying to search for the right word. He says, this is like light coming into the world. The Word becoming flesh, God amongst us. This birth is incredible, not just because all births are incredible, but this birth is incredible because this baby lying in a feeding trough is God's glory. This baby, like scrunched up, searching around for its mother, crying. This baby there in the hay, bathed in light, is God. Behold, go on, take another look. That's why we come to this story again and again, so we can puzzle over it, so we can try and find the right words, so we can be moved to marvel and wonder, because this is not how we picture God. It's not the shape of God that we automatically recognize. And yet as we look at this baby, it's like God becomes a little bit more comprehensible. It's like God becomes a little bit more someone we can know, someone we can grasp. Not all light is good. We are in the middle of summer. Christmas was very comforting when you're in winter. Thinking of God being light is very comforting when it's snowing and dark. Maybe it's less comforting when we're like sweating away here in Australia. And we're living in a time when there's record-breaking heat, right? When there's bombs still exploding. Maybe we're fearing that this year might be another year where there's terrible bushfires. Jeff Gondel, one writer, is really concerned about heat and what heat might be doing, you know, as our world gets hotter, to our bodies and to this planet. And so out of his concern, the one thing he has is words. And so he's written this book. And one of the things he says in this book, talking about heat, is this. When the heat comes, it's invisible. It doesn't bend tree branches or blow hair across your face to let you know it's arrived. The ground doesn't shake. It just surrounds you and works on you in ways that you can't anticipate or control. Plants look like they're crying. Birds vanish from the sky and take refuge in deep shade. Cars are untouchable. Colours fade. Heat can be deadly. And yet Jeff writes, not just to raise alarm, But he writes because he still trusts that truth and grace can change people. Like, he's like, if people know, if we speak about the truth, if we act in grace, then we can change. We can work together. And in many ways, that's what the gospel writer of John is doing. He chooses to marvel. He chooses to marvel and give these words to invite others to marvel as well. And so we come to this story to trust, to find courage, to believe that new starts are always possible, that this baby born in Bethlehem in a blink of an eye will grow up to be an adult full of grace and truth who will extend a hand and say, you can be born of God. This is a story that is strange and wonderful, and we're to marvel at it. We're to trust that grace and truth in all its brilliance can still change people's lives and change the world. So there's still babies being born. There's Christmas trees lit up. There's houses lit up, sparkling. There's maybe shiny wrapping paper on the ground. And at Christmas, we do all this to remind ourselves that life is a gift. Grace overflowing. We celebrate a love that radiates outwards. We celebrate a God who dwells amongst us. Bathe this moment in light.